Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. And by the clearness and the brightness of your holy word, may all the world come within your saving embrace. In Christ's name, amen. What year is it? 2026, that's right. How long does it take for you to calibrate what year it is? You know, in an age where we're maybe writing less physical checks, we've got like digital checks that already populate 2026. I do have to remember when I make the bulletins that I make the change to 2026 on the front. But sometimes it takes a little time to register the change of a year. Now, what year is it? Informational French Revolutionary calendar. Anybody know? It was a pretty transformational claim to change the calendar. Well, it's year 234, according to the French Revolutionary calendar. It began September 22nd, 1792. And the reason we don't know it is because nobody uses it anymore. It was used from 1793 to 1805. It was a revolutionary calendar seeking to establish a new order, a new history, according to the king being deposed. And we don't want to be people who are about the birth of Jesus, but we want to have a new reign, a new kingdom that's established. What year is it according to the Juche calendar of North Korea? Anybody know that one? It's year 115 according to the Juche calendar, which means self-reliance. And that was based on the birth of Kim Il-sung, and it was practiced for a brief period of time from 1997 to 2024 until it became, let's not emphasize Kim Il-sung, let's emphasize Kim Jong-il. And so they now follow the same calendar as we do, just as they do in France and almost every other nation in the world. This year, 2026, is the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. And it was a year, it was established by a monk 1,500 years ago who argued that the birth of Jesus Christ should be the beginning of how Christians mark time and how we mark history. Prior to that, the founding of Rome was a time that was sort of year zero or year one, or the reign of a current king or an emperor was the reference of time. We have vestiges of that even in the Gospels, where we learn in the days of Caesar Augustus when Quirinius was governor of Syria from Luke chapter 2. Marking time by the reign of a king was just common practice. Even in contemporary times, we, in sort of a historical setting, instead of using AD, people might say CE, Common Era, which is a less radical way to secularize time, taking away sort of Jesus as the point of reference. It's not the year of our Lord. They're just saying, well, let's just call it Common Era to be sort of polite. But the fact of the matter is that it is still using this reference, Jesus' birth, or at least as how this monk perceived the birth of Jesus as its reference point. The blood that has been spilled in trying to establish a new end of history and a new year one or year zero is horrific and terrible. And setting aside the fact that Jesus was probably born 4 to 6 years earlier than this monk supposed, the Gregorian calendar and the year of our Lord is still the standard worldwide. Jesus' kingdom, in a sense, through that, will have no end in how it's claimed over the whole world. As we reflected last Sunday, we know very little about Jesus' early life, about the first 30 years of his life, other than that he was in the mainstream of his people, that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. But then, for 3 years, beginning with his baptism, which we have marked today and remembered in the gospel lesson, at the age of 30, Jesus began his ministry. And where he was baptized really does matter. It wasn't just any water, although it was sort of a water of washing and of creation. But the water of the Jordan wasn't just any other place of entry, but it was the place of entry into the land in the days of Joshua. It was the place where Joshua circumcised all the men who had been born during those wilderness years. It was the place where Elijah ascended into heaven and Elisha took up his mantle, receiving a double portion and succeeded him as prophet. And the baptism that John professed was a baptism of repentance, calling people back to reestablishing the covenant, to repent as a people, and to be reconsecrated. And so when Jesus came to John to be baptized in the Jordan, we might forgive John for saying, no, don't baptize. I can't baptize you. You baptize me. The Messiah, what it mean for them? Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went into the water, and up, behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This fulfilling of all righteousness was sort of a striking of multiple chords of Scripture all at once. And again, this stained glass that we have before us is sort of like a visual representation of all these chords, all these images and themes struck all at once. It was a transition from Moses, sort of a desert leader, to Joshua, a man who would bring the people into the land. From Elijah to Elisha. And now from John, this wilderness prophet, to Jesus, the prophet and the priest and the king. Jesus' baptism was a fulfillment of all righteousness, all salvation history. And it was an epiphany of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in a single moment. At the age of 30, the age in which a man would become king, David became king. It was the age when priests began their service. And when this voice from heaven declares, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, it is a fulfillment of that coronation, that establishing Jesus as David's royal son forever. There's echoes of the anointing of David in 1 Samuel. Arise, anoint him, for this is he. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And David's son was established forever in his throne as the days of the heaven, the year of our Lord. To fulfill all righteousness, Jesus, the son of David, would now begin this task of building a temple, a living house for the Lord, his own body and his people. And this moment was also a new exodus, but an exodus with very significant twists. Jesus passed through the waters, but instead of going out into the land, he went back into the wilderness for 40 through the devil and the tempter. The place of the wilderness not being a place where he was overthrown, but a place where he overthrew the devil and the tempter, as we sang today. And Jesus is an ark of rescue through the waters. The dove, which Noah sent away and did not return, now returns and alights upon Jesus, figuratively lighting upon the ark of Jesus' body in which all may be saved. All righteousness was fulfilled in Jesus, like Moses, like a greater Moses, a greater Noah. And he was a prophet, and he was a humble man, a bruised reed he will not break. But he was a man of authority. He claimed the land, bringing light for the nations to open eyes that are blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and from the prison those who sit in darkness. He overthrew the devil, and he stood before kings, not shaking without fear, but standing in true godly authority, and fulfilling all righteousness like Joshua, a greater Joshua, or a greater Elisha. Jesus's baptism fulfilled all righteousness. It's a culmination of all these stories of salvation history. And his life was an end of history like none that had come before. His kingdom will have no end. So 2026 is the year of our Lord. But I wonder if there are old ways of marking time that are making a comeback. I'm sure I'm not the only one who has heard of things as the Trump era. And even as I say that, I know there's like a, don't go there. Some proclaim it with hope, and others with outrage and with despair. It does indeed, this language of Trump era or Reagan era or different things, it makes us squirm a bit. But we are in a particular era in which politics becomes sort of our existential hope or our existential despair. And I want to say to you, this is the year of our Lord. That no matter how irresistible our leaders seem or their policies seem and how much it creates anxiety, is worthy of our hope, you know, of transformation. That no mortal man or woman is worthy of our hope or our deserving of our despair. The battle belongs to the Lord, and his kingdom will have no end. So, Church of the Redeemer, Chris knows. What year is it, Chris?
2026.
The year of our Lord. And whose year is it? It is the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we began today's service proclaiming, there is one body and one spirit, and there is one hope in God's call to us. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And for 2,000 years, men and women have attempted to overthrow his kingdom or co-opt his kingdom, and all have failed. For all honor and power and honor and salvation belong to him alone. And there is no other name by which men and women can be saved but in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a tense time in our cities. And I don't know what rumors are true or false. I remember back, 5 years ago where there were lots of rumors on social media, some that were proven true, others that proven false. But the fear that all those rumors and those fears and anxieties inspired was, and still is, very real. So if you are stirred up by these things, humble yourselves as well as be courageous. For it is the year of our Lord. Be strong and very courageous, because his kingdom will have no end. That his appearing brings salvation to all peoples and to all nations. And the holiness of our Savior and those who are found in him requires us to renounce all ungodliness and worldly passions. It prompts us to be self-controlled, to stand firm, to live godly lives, even in the midst of this present age, which the present age for God's people has always been contested and tumultuous, and others saying, his birth was not the end of baptism, this now is. But by the presence of the Spirit of peace, which we receive in baptism, and the Spirit of power that we receive in him, we may still, in the midst of this present age, share in his faithful presence in the midst of chaos. Empowered by the same Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son, filling us, watering us, that we might be oaks of righteousness, planting of the Lord for the display, not of anybody else's splendor, not even of a splendor of a local church, but for the splendor of him, of Jesus in his name. This servant who would not even break a bruised reed was obedient even unto death on the cross, and only through him he has opened up the way of life. And so whatever anxieties and very real or perceived threats we feel, don't fear the man of lawlessness, whatever his or her guise, whatever they look like. Renounce all powers, trust in the Lord and do good, turn to him and seek refuge in him and in his help in these times of trouble. Jesus didn't elevate himself. He didn't conquer with a mob, or with weapons made by man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us and descended into the same deep waters that we have to cross and pass through. And the Spirit anointed him with power, and the Father blessed him. There is one body and one Spirit. There is one hope in God's call to us. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, a Father of all. And this is the year of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.